didn't realise how good that was, actually. Replayed again, Richard Hawley, tonight, The Streets Are Ours. Siren 107.3 FM, the midweek drive continues ever onwards on cam and out of cam and various other bits and pieces. In the studio, Samantha Viner still with us, although Sam, I think you're heading off.
In the next few minutes, maybe.
There we are. So that's Natasha Turney looking as glamorous as you can after a day of sledging and frozen water in around your ankles. Nikki Wells, effectively, well, as you said on your Facebook update, Nikki, you had to go and make sure that everything was sorted through when I dropped in the line. Nil desperandum, just carry on regardless. And yes, I have seen Galaxy Quest.
Excellent. Never give up, never surrender.
It's a line I frequently used in an American Studies module with Katie Grimerson. Ed is with us. Nicola will be back with us very shortly. But now, Katie, what button should we actually press?
Michelle Monroe.
Hi, this is Michelle Monroe with another mantra from Matt Monroe's catalogue of songs. The early 1970s saw my father issued with a new EMI record contract. The second album, recorded under the new agreement at Air Studios in Oxford Street, wasn't what he was used to. The record company had given him a new producer in John Burgess and a new musical arranger, Colin Keyes. The concept album focused on songs made famous singers who had mainly beat Concert Hall in the Sky. Called The Other Side of the Stars, the project didn't quite go according to plan. Unfortunately, EMI managed to screw up the whole experience by not releasing it for 2 years, and then, unbelievably, issuing the album unmixed, including a glaring trumpet mistake. It happened on I'm Glad I'm Not Young Anymore. The trumpets play a wrong note in the instrumental section, and it's the top note played by Stan Roderick, who was playing lead trumpet, and it's horrible. They finally did an edit, but they never actually used that version. And everyone was left disappointed. Tonight's classic was one of the most successful songs to come from the album. Originally made famous by Nat King Cole and George Shearing, here's Dad's version of Let There Be Love.
Please let there be love. Let there be love. Let there be love.
Until next time, this is me, Michelle Monroe, signing off and wishing everyone listening to the Midweek Drive a very good night.
Good night, Michelle. Wherever you happen to be. Marvellous. Okay, Nicola Clancy's back with us. Yes. Mm-hmm. And Katie Grimerson. Yeah, who's ever left, which is fantastic, and Nikki Wells, and of course Ed Wellman. Now I'm going to actually try and do something here, which is sort of our Penny Evans let's read things through. So this comes across on a webcam, it'd be extraordinary. Penny sent in various tags on Facebook. She started off by writing, Alex and the team have just sung happy birthday to me on the Midweek Drive show. Aw, thanks so much, you guys rock. Isn't that nice? Yay. And thanks for reading out my website address on air. Can you remember her website address, Ed? No,
Penny.
Where we need to
Penny's
say it again.
From Evans.
Exactly.
Dot Weebly.com.
I'm going to have to write an apology because I've got the wrong person. Now the wrong web address. And
penny.weebly.com. Okay, so that's that. So let's move to her other line things, which actually it's directed at you, Ed, because this is quite nice in terms of thing. Insofar as she used to, apparently, this is Penny, be referred to as Lady Penelope when she was actually at school. So you would have actually been okay if you'd actually said that, but obviously not Henny Penny, who of course is Penny Roberts. That's very important.
Lady Penny's all right then. Lady Penelope.
Lady Penny, I think, is fine. And
that's,
I think that's
what it will be from now on.
That's perfectly acceptable. Okay. So we're clear on that. And finally, in terms of the line that's coming through on this area here, yes, Henny Penny was never a nickname for her, but she did used to get Lady Penelope off Thunderbirds and also Penelope Pitstop.
Yes.
Okay. She was also nicknamed Haypenny when she was small.
Oh.
It's half a penny, Katie. Mm. Mind you remember that as you were sort of 20 in 1967, so from that. And I think that sort of keeps us up to date with Penny Evans' little Facebook updates, particularly as Natasha has entered the studio once again. So that's fantastic. Oh, no, we have actually got one which you forgot to actually mention now, so we will actually read this out. It's what you call interaction with the audience here. Okay, so hopefully we had a line through this. You have to go and see Life of Pi. Wonderful film, especially in 3D. Owen, she loved the goodies. Tim Brooke Taylor used to go to her late grandma's toy shop when he was a little lad, because, of course, Tim Brooke Taylor, being a Derby County fan, is also from Buxton. And indeed, Penny Evans herself used to act with Tim Brooke Taylor's brother, Martin, here at the Opera House. There were groups of Buxtonians who used to do original musicals for charities. Apparently, he's a great deal of fun and for good causes. So there we are. I feel as though we've done our little duty sorted through on that particular area here. Of course, the next thing, Nicola, you'll be getting out your mobile phone and accessing Siren Online and sort of stuff from there as well. And
yes, I will.
It's exciting. Who's up next, Nicola Clancy?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I'm sorry. we have Arthur Weingarten.
Arthur Weingarten is coming up, and we've got a special event that we're going to just tease ahead to, because I know, Nikki Wells, that Sophie's Run will be launched a fortnight's time.
It will.
But we start something tonight which is going to actually support an animal sanctuary run by Alexandra Bastido, with the chance to actually win an authentic Adams Family script as written by Arthur Weingarten. In fact, not win, but actually bid for, and actually sort of have a piece of Hollywood history in your very own head. It's wonderful. It's like furry animals writ large. This is Duran Duran. Something which doesn't apply to Nikki Wells, because she's never lonely in her nightmares, because she doesn't have nightmares. She simply actually gets up, writes another book, get things sorted from there. That's what it's all about. Simon Le Bon, take it away, sir.
Even on the darkest night, when an empty promise means empty hands, soldier
I think it's added another level of enjoyment to the show, hopefully, because Penny Evans has just said she's watching us now, and we guys are awesome. He's waving at Penny Evans. Let's hope Phil Leonis is watching us as well. He's also just signed in to the whole thing, and Ilana Rain has also tagged a photograph. It's all very wonderful. Now, if we actually went from the magic of the midweek drive to this... And if you're an aficionado of Hollywood's classical TV series starring Raymond Burr, who of course was Perry Mason amongst other things, you might say, ah yes, I recall that gunshot, which basically meant that a fine detective was cut down in his prime, but ended up not giving up on that, never allowing defeat or surrender to get in his way in any way, shape or form. He became Ironside. Of course, you might well then say, ah yes, but one of the classic Ironside episodes in season one, there are others of obviously available, has to be Ironside : Tagged for Murder, when George Bellingham is electrocuted in his own swimming pool. Ed, you've seen this, so you can attest to this. George Bellingham.
Yeah, I shall be never getting in an outside swimming pool after dark myself again.
Very scary. Detective Sergeant Ed Brown, no relation to Wedman, but also
called Ed. No, that's my next joke.
Refuses to accept the accidental death verdict and discusses his suspicions with Ironside. They track down a series of mysterious numbers on the dead man's watch, which leads them to some former friends of Bellingham's, including a retired general who tells the strange story of a robbery in the closing days of World War II. Can I get any... You've got Bruce Lee in there. Bruce Lee! Kung Fu fighting in Ironside. You've got a car chase. You can only say it has to be written by a true legend. Which legend do you think it should be written by, or has been written by, Ed?
Arthur Weingarten.
Arthur Weingarten. How are you, sir?
I'm always amazed how you... All of you seem to know much more about this than I do.
Well, that's called research. That's what it's all about. And as you say, the brilliant thing about this whole setup is we can actually work through some of the TV classics plus more in terms of that. So, Katie, you haven't had a chance to watch Ironside, has yet?
No, sadly not. Mm. I've been doing my work, though.
This is work, Katie. It's work of a different manner. Nicola, we didn't provide you with a copy of Ironside, but we will do that.
No, so I'd like to see.
I think so, yeah. It's a whole routine. Ed, what did you make of the actual episode itself?
Excellent. Excellent.
And excellent. And that's excellent. That's quite literally it.
I didn't actually see who'd done it earlier than she did it. if you see what I mean.
That was very clever. Very strange Antoinette Bauer, who of course was in the Catspaw episode of Star Trek and many episodes of Wild Wild West. It's quite, but she was playing a French lady who wasn't really French. She was, oh yeah, but Arthur, we're giving away the title in all sorts of ways in sort of routine. But yes, it was very good. Now, we'll talk about Ironside and a few other areas, but even more excitingly was the line that was at a similar time as you were working on Ironside and the Mod Squad and various other things. You came up with the idea for a series which I think has still got legs today, and I'm thinking Code 3. That was no pun, by the way, to Raymond Burr, actually, not being able to use his legs on Ironside. It was just the scriptwriter told us to actually put that line in there. Code 3 eventually ended up in you actually having an experience that Phil Leonis might be talking about later in the show, which was you were the victim of phone tapping from, was it the FBI or CIA?
Yes, yes. But that actually was not because of that. That was because of something else I did.
Well, I think you know, now
that
we're in the 21st century.
Yes, it involved Meryl Streep. Oh, a good 5 or 6 years later, yes.
Uh-huh.
I tried to do something with Russia when they were opening up to making films with America, and America didn't think that we should be making films with Russia, so they tapped my phone. But that's another story.
There are so many, which again, we will come to. I mean, that's just a tease ahead from that sort of things. I have to point out, actually, Arthur, that this show is actually being transmitted, so people can listen. In fact, we actually encourage them to do so. So, just in case people are sort of thinking,
wonderful, that's a relief.
That's what we do in terms of radio side of things, to spread that audience and so on. We've got here, let's tie this in with your work with Bonanza. Pernell Roberts, of course, Adam. Cartwright in the classic series Bonanza, one of several greats that you actually worked with in various ways. And I mean, I'll tell you what, let's throw this to Natasha. I mean, you've got a list there with Pernell Roberts, Charlie Chaplin, Gloria Swanson, Richard Burton, Richard Harris, Betty Davis, Harry James, Betty Grable. Who do you wish to find out a little bit more about from Arthur Weingarten's perspective? It's going to take some time here, Arthur.
It's a lot of names. It's a very hard decision.
Well.
I'm going to go for Harry James.
Harry James?
I quite like the name.
Oh, that's nice. Yes, from a young person to Harry. That's very encouraging.
I think so.
I can tell you how I got to know Harry James. It was through his wife, Betty Grable. I was doing a pilot that I had created a series about vaudeville, and Betty Grable was cast in it.
She had great legs, I recall, actually.
Yeah, you know, legs. $1 million legs during World War II.
Exactly.
They took a policy out for $1 million on her legs, and thank goodness she kept them. But nevertheless, when we were preparing the pilot for the series, Betty said that perhaps we'd like to do it at our home in Palm Springs. And we all went out there, the various people, myself and the director and some of the studio heads, and we worked for 4 days. Well, of course, Harry James was there. And I had let slip, silly me, to Betty at one point. She said, "Tell me about yourself and this and that." And she said, "Are you musical?" And I said, "Well, I love music, but I said I made the ridiculous choice of trying to play the trumpet when I was very young and taught myself how to play." Well, she told Harry James that. And so when I met Harry James the first time, he said, "Hey, listen, I hear you're a fellow horn player. You've got to bring..." They were called axes. Metal instruments were called axes. And he said, "You've got to bring your axe next time you come, and we'll play together." Well, I had hysterical laughter. He looked at me as if I was a maniac, because if I could hit 3 notes on key in succession, that was a blessing. Rockets would go up. So I dissuaded him very quickly. But we became very friendly because I just loved all of his records. I had every single one of them. And I loved swing and jazz. So we became very friendly, as I did with Betty. And unfortunately, the series never went beyond pilot.
Well,
our friendship stayed.
In an alternate reality, Arthur, we'll get that series made. You know, these concepts, they go out there.
Out of your mouth, I hope so. It was a lovely one. It was a nice one.
Crucial. Let's do a quick introduction. We have Nikki Wells in the studio, a great author, who indeed, as we said in the early part of the show, originally worked as a researcher and project manager for an international human resources research firm based in London and Washington, D.C.
That's right.
Do you want to name names,
hello,
Nikki?
Hello.
Hi, Arthur. We have met before, I think, on my debut on the Siren Midweek Drive.
That's it.
So it's very nice to speak with you again.
Yes, I feel the same way.
I'll give you the little teaser from her latest text, actually, which is Volume 2 of the Rockstar Romance. Who says that the road towards true love is straight and even? Sophie is certainly discovering that it is anything but.
Well, there, that's the tease that'll bring them in.
Hopefully they will.
Exactly.
Oh, yes.
There will be book signings and all sorts of things in 2 years from now, weeks from now.
Absolutely, are doing the works.
Natasha, having identified Betty Grable there, and you've now seen a photograph of Betty Grable, in terms of legs, very similar to your own.
I did identify she has nice legs.
There we are. I was thinking of yourself. I was thinking of Annette Andre. I'm thinking of obviously Nicola, Katie, and Nikki, clearly, from that point of view. No, we might have the webcam on stream. We're not going to have a leg show on the origin. It certainly means we have to step back on for proprietary sake, but any questions from yourself?
Well, yes, really.
Yes. She's had a challenging day, Arthur.
I've had a very challenging day.
She's been sledging.
Sledging,
as
and it was very
do.
Hard. Yeah. So, yes, I am quite challenged today.
That's all right, then. Okay.
Arthur, obviously you've been producing and writing for many years. Is there a particular person that you found you really enjoyed to work with?
Oh, yes. Yeah, there were several.
What was your favourite? Who was your favourite?
Including Victor Ironside, but Raymond Burr was a lovely man, just a gentleman. He was a terrific fellow. But one of the people that I really, truly enjoyed working with was Purnell, whom you just mentioned before. Yep. We became quite friendly, and in the beginning, when I first got to know him, he was living with his family in West Virginia, and commuting to Hollywood. And so he took me home one time deep into the mountains of West Virginia, where I had never been before. And there are lots of adventures that then went on from that I'd like to tell you about sometime. But Purnell was a very, very, very deep-thinking fellow, quite unlike, you saw a little bit of the dark side on Bonanza, but we never could use much of that, but he was truly a very talented actor whom I felt never got a chance until later in life to do theater, which he started to do. And then unfortunately, he was taken from us just a short time ago. But a truly blessed actor and a very well-read person.
And I think it's fair to say, of all of the Cartwright family, he lasted the longest, which was nice,
obviously,
in terms of acting routine.
Absolutely.
I mean, I know he dropped out of the series, I think, around about Series 4 or Series 5. Curious enough, I didn't know who Adam was until, sort of, because, I kind of grew up with Hoss, Little Joe, and Ben Cartwright. I think he left the series by then, really, but Hopsing, thankfully, was still there, so,
Purnell always was torn toward wanting to do serious theater and serious film and that. And he could have had a very large television career, but he chose not to.
Well, choice is where the whole magic actually happens. Nicola, thoughts and questions from yourself?
Well, I was thinking the same, really. Who was the kind of, like, most notable person that you've worked with? But who would you, if you were to work with someone in the future, who would you like to work with?
Well, actually, I tried very hard with, as I mentioned, Meryl Streep when she was quite young and really not anywhere near as known as she is now. I was setting up a production of Anna Karenina as a feature film with Universal as a partner. And when Russia opened up and said they'd like to make films, I proposed, I called the Russian embassy, which was the way you had to do it, and opened the door there, and they became very, very interested, and that then led me to a series of over 2 weeks, dozens of calls between the Soviet Union, Moscow, Mosfilm, and myself, at which point a knock came on my office door, and two FBI fellows came in and said, "We're very interested in the conversations you've been having with Russia about," and they knew every single thing, and of course, they tapped my phone. That, too, I have a litany of probably longer than any of my credits would say of projects that never came off, and that was one of them. But I would have loved to this day to have worked with Meryl Streep. She's just a phenomenal actress.
It's always important that credit is given where credit's due, and I'd also like to just give credit to, we mentioned Mark Aldridge earlier, but also thanks to Jeff Thompson for doing wonderful stuff in setting up this webcasting scenario. So I just wanted to flag that up there. Thank you, Jeff, without whom we would not be able to actually sort of see the faces of Siren broadcast to the world. It's very important. Just wanted to actually make, because you know when you're in the business of show, Arthur, that sometimes you get into situations and you think, we've always forgotten somebody else, but we always like, it's our Academy Award speeches. You know, just
oh, yes,
work through
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's why they go on for 5 hours.
And we, you know, so I just wanted to acknowledge that, you know, Mark Aldridge, Jeff Thompson there, Jonathan Cresswell, all sorted through, like one whole team. Fantastic. Now, very important thing next, Arthur, we're going to actually tease ahead to an event that will be taking place shortly, an online auction, possibly a live auction, we'll see how things go, for one of your fabulous scripts from The Addams Family, or indeed Bonanza. We might have both. We'll see how things go. Plus, of course, Annette Andre, a wonderful wife, will be joining us next week to talk about her role in Randall and Hopkirk Deceased, the quintessential genie, of course, and the time she worked with Alexandra Bastidio. Why are we doing this, Arthur? What's the purpose behind it?
Well, it is such a worthy cause. They are far and few between as good as this one. Alexandra Bastido, who was in The Champions and with Annette in Randall and Hopkirk and their dear friends, runs an animal sanctuary. And the sanctuary, unfortunately, has just taken on a huge amount of vet bills because of cats that she took in. She has all sorts of animals at the sanctuary. But some of the cats had feline flu, which is enormously infectious. And it is a no-kill, no-put-down sanctuary. So Alexandra incurred vet bills that are staggering and managed to save most of the cats that came in. But it has affected the sanctuary's functioning. So we're holding, bless you, Alex, for doing this. Annette and I just think you're fabulous for doing this, an online or however you would do it, auction of either or both Addams Family and Bonanza script, which I will personally autograph, and Annette with pictures with Alexandra from the Randall and Hopkirk series. And today is the launch, and you take it from there, Alex.
And yes, as I say, we'll find out more about that. Derek Hamley, obviously, for Tenth Planet Productions, is also working with us on this, so it's exciting. We'll find out more next week. We'll have the sort of web things, and we'll have a date set for it. It's probably going to be about mid-February, I would have thought, so we'll look
wonderful
at getting things sorted out from that. So great news there. Katie, any questions for yourself?
Do you have any pets?
Oh, yes. We have, over the years, we have only rescued pets, and we have three cats now. One of them is sitting on me as we're speaking. She is totally black. Her name is Suru. These three all have Swahili names, and that therein lies the story also. She is Suru, which in Swahili means monkey. And we have Shilingi, a male. She's a female. Shilingi the male, and that means money in Swahili, but we like the name. And then we have Babu, who is the litter mate of Suru. And Babu means revered one.
I think we've actually got a holy trinity of cats there, a positive feline flock of fantastic scenarios.
Yes.
Suru monkey, Shilingi money, and Babu revered one.
Right.
Well, as our very own Babu, Arthur Weingarten, I think I'm going to actually ask Natasha to throw those last two questions at you. Who I'll refer to Natasha, possibly as Suru, really.
Arthur, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic
I've
link?
I've had a wonderful time. I can't tell you how I look forward to these talks.
That's great, fantastic. I'm sure we've all enjoyed it too.
And can we'll have Natasha. Yes.
Well, I didn't want to speak for all of us.
Oh, Nicola, have you enjoyed
it? Can I speak for all of us?
Yeah, definitely.
Katie?
Yeah, I always like
Nikki?
Absolutely, 100%.
Ed?
Yes, and I've seen the cats on the website.
Then conclusively, I can say that we have had a fantastic talk to you, Arthur.
Exactly.
And can we look forward to connecting with you again in the very near future?
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you.
There we are. Still to squeeze in Ilana Rain and Phil Leonis.
Never got touch is gonna make it through the night.
We may or may not all be Cylons, but the undisputed truth is that we're all delighted to share the perspectives of ace New York director Ilana Rain. Prepare to take another step into the cosmos.
Of course, the thing is, as she's just updated on Facebook, Ilana has actually just arrived at LAX International Airport. We can see a photograph that she's taken there of some of the trees that are actually out about there. Sort of a photo where she actually is present. We can see some sort of Christmas decorations on that side of things. But she is apparently suffering from major sleep deprivation. So when I suggested she could watch us on air, I think she thought, no, you're having a laugh. I mean, this is ridiculous, you know, because she's sorting out ellipse and all sorts of things. Ellipse blinded by the light connections, etc. Welcome back to the show, Ilana, because this is the first time we've spoken since we did the 25 hours, or 28 hours in your case.
That's right. Great to be back, Alex. Thanks. And that was really excellent preparation for what I just endured at Sundance for 4 days, because the sleep is just not in the picture when you go to that.
Ilana,
so please forgive me if I don't have the words, okay?
I've always said the best way to actually sort of help you get through life and actually have that perfect sort of preparation for perfect life experiences is to do some of these midweek drive shows. You know, in many ways, it is not just therapy on air, but it's more than that, isn't it, Ed?
Yes.
We're here to help each other.
Hello, Ilana.
Yes.
Exactly.
Hi, Ed.
Are you well?
Ed, it's so good to hear your voice.
And happy New Year to you.
The rest of us will leave the studio. I'm Ed and Ilana.
I was listening to your voice this afternoon. You were being interviewed on a London sci-fi channel about We Are All Cyclones.
Cylons.
It's like washing powder. Yeah.
Or indeed, there's the cyclone CERN
the
area here. Yeah, exactly.
It's a cyclone. That was you, wasn't it?
Was that a question? I'm sorry. There was so much laughter.
I'm sorry about them.
And I also just fell asleep for about 30 seconds, but I'm back.
It's all right. We'll be serious for you, Ilana. Okay? Stop the laughing in the studio now. Okay? Carry on.
Yes. My question.
Yes.
Was I
saw the microphone towards you.
That's what it is, isn't it?
Yeah. Is that better? That's much better.
On a sci-fi channel this afternoon, where it was on the internet, and you were talking about We Are All Cylons.
Yes.
Did you hear that?
What's the question? What's the question?
Oh, the question is, was it you?
Heard me talk about We Are All Cylons?
That's it.
Yeah.
And
there must be someone else who made a movie with that name. I was in the air over...
Yeah, but you see, Ilana, you'd already recorded this beforehand,
yes.
And that's the magical thing about things that are recorded as podcasts. People can listen to you whilst you're in another place.
I was just going to say you were great.
There you are.
Thank you.
So I kind of answered the question.
Exactly.
Thank you. Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
And it was, but we're talking about ellipse now. So you've been at Sundance, which is obviously Robert Redford's fantastic film festival. You're now in Los Angeles. You've been in London. Astonishingly, when you were in London, we didn't manage to connect together whilst you were there. But still, how's it going, Ilana?
Ellipse is going really well. The trip to London was a huge success. We brought on some incredible talent, and you know, there's something just really wonderful during casting when you see the perfect person for the role read your words aloud. It's just truly just an extraordinary feeling. So very happy with the talent: John Hansler, Brian Bovell, Deborah Bouchard, Jesse Dubochnet. I can't pronounce the last name because I'm way too tired, but And it's just going great. And I found a fantastic DB named Laura Bellingham out of London. She's won several awards and has been written up. And most importantly, just a kind person, someone that I feel I can work really well with on set. And Louis's moving ahead. And I'm really excited. We'll be going to camera mid-February. That's the plan.
Excellent. There was a time, of course, Nikki, in the early days where she actually had me pegged as a professor in that. I think she's forgotten about that now. It's all right. I don't mind. I'll step aside. It's all right. Beaten by a better opportunity. Still, life continues. It's been... She's gone very quiet now. She's going to pretend she's asleep.
She's very tired.
She is.
Jet lag is a terrible
thing. Alex, do you know what's so very exciting?
Yes. What is so exciting?
I'm going to be seeing Phil... And Lily and Dean, and we're all working together on Friday. Yeah. We're doing a shoot for my feature. We're doing a teaser, and I get to work with all of them again.
Well, so there we are. And the Dobermans, of course.
No Dobermans on set.
Oh, fair enough. Then. That's okay. I thought.
Well, unless Dean needs to bring them, then that's fine.
That's okay. Nicola, last two questions for Ilana Raine, please.
Yes. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today, Ilana?
Mm-hmm. Always. I like the addition of, like, the mad laughter that you all...
bit of mad laughter. We'll charge you for it, of course. The invoice will be in the post. Carry on.
And can we look forward to chatting to you in the very near future?
Absolutely. That'd be wonderful.
Ilana Raine, get some sleep.
I will. Thanks, Alex. Get on me when me gon' shout. Me
go shout no. So, Ed, share with us what happened when you tried to actually say hello to Nikki Wells in the freezing, ice-cold, sub-zero conditions of Lincoln recently.
Oh, I was walking home yesterday afternoon across the road.
Yes.
I thought, I know that lady.
Yes,
Nikki so
Wells.
I went across two lanes of traffic.
Two lanes of traffic.
Through about 3 foot of snow snow going everywhere, and ripped off my hat. Drew breath, went, Nikki Wells!
Nikki!
And the bus pulled in right in between us. Nikki. But it was nearly a beautiful moment, actually.
It was wonderful, actually, because I've been waiting for this bus for, the best part of half an hour, as you do with you buses.
A crazed stalker.
A crazed man was calling my name, Nikki.
He's got a great voice. I mean, he loves
And then the hat
voice.
Came off, and I said, it was, it was like slow motion. I said, Ed Wellman. And the bus turned up. Was like, oh, am I going to talk to Ed? Am I going to get the bus?
Talk to Ed.
There was the school run. You don't appreciate this. There's always the school run. It punctuates my life, so I had to get back. Oh, well. I'm sorry, Ed.
This is Malcolm Tomlinson, actor, horse racing commentator and voice-over artiste, proudly presenting the Midweek Drive's regular 6:30 p.m. correspondent. Whether he's in his PJs or not, the truth is out there, director extraordinaire Mr. Phil Leonis!
Yeah. He's finding it disorientating, apparently, or even discombobulating. Let me just turn the microphone around because it's very confused. There we are. He's finding it confusing watching the webcam and listening to the show. Is that right, Phil Leonis?
Yes. I mean, first of all...
I'll turn around just for you and wave hello.
Hello. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, hello. There we are.
That's distracting, too. You know, because... It's still on a delay, so I'm here wanting to wait to respond until I've watched you wave to me.
Yes.
But, of course, it is on a little bit of a delay, so then there would be several seconds of silence, and people would want to know at home who we're remembering and why we're being silent.
That's true.
So it is disorienting. I mean, I have always wondered what it would be like to watch an entire show while staring at the back of your head, Alex.
I'm sorry about that, really. I mean, we're going to have to sort that, because, I mean, I would say no, it's not
you
appropriate.
You will notice, you probably noticed that when we were doing our 28-hour podcast-a-thon for the end of the Mayan calendar, I was very clever, and I almost always kept the webcam Alana
quite right.
And Dean, or Alana
Ed,
and Dean.
Go back there, sort that webcam out so it's pointing at the ladies in the studio. You know, I think we need to get that sorted.
Exactly.
You know, go on. You don't want the back of Left Chuck's head. It's not available. You know, it's important.
By the way, the Left Chuck's head would be a great name for a swing jazz album. Wouldn't it be great?
Yes, well, I can see the technology is there. What's he doing now?
He's doing it. Wait a minute.
That's volume 4 in Nikki Wells' tome, in her epic tome, The Back of Luxor's Head.
So there we have it. So
you've just given me an excellent idea. Watch this space. If I write the book, will you make the movie?
Oh, I've already made the movie. It's 2 hours of a webcam.
You've now got Lefchuk's nose. It's not like something to do.
Just please. Just have to move it. Yeah.
You know, who really enjoys the conversation that we're having right now about what this show looks like on the webcam?
Yes.
People listening on 107.3. Exactly. Those people are really loving it.
Exactly. There we are. That's looking a lot better. I think we're peeling things away. We're now having a little earthquake. It's like the Star Trek series. All to the right, all to the left, and all to the right again.
There you are.
We're sorted. Marvellous. Yeah, you are. Much better. There you are.
Now,
Alex, will there be the webcam every week? Is this a permanent feature, a permanent fixture on the Midweek Drive?
It's looking that way. I mean, unless any of our team obviously decide, no, I do not wish to be on the webcam, because we would never want to force somebody to actually be on the webcam. And Natasha, no, this doesn't include yourself. That's very important.
And will the complete list of Penny Evans' nicknames, will those be recounted each and every show? Is that a permanent fixture on the Midweek Drive?
Unlikely, it has to be said, you know. But, you know, obviously we appreciate Penny Evans. We were going to slip in You Only Live Twice because it was your favourite film, but we might hold fire on that still.
Well, I've got stories to tell that are backed up from last week, as you well know.
I know! So go! We've got 17 minutes to actually ruminate and talk through that. I was going to slip in a David Soul and a David Cassidy back-to-back, but I think, no, we'll be okay.
No, because I am planning an intervention to try to get to the root of your fixation, your obsession. Mm. Unhealthy. Too much of anything, Alex. Even love is not necessarily a good thing.
The trouble and with troubles.
And your obsession with every television actor turned singer named David from the 1970s is troubling. So, as I enter into production with Alana Rain, and as I complete a production on a Lifetime project, I believe my duties were completed yesterday on that, and as I advise on two different projects, I'm now branching into a new aspect of my work, which is as a consultant, and as I do all these, what's fun is you call upon all your memories of all the experiences of all that's gone wrong on previous projects. And I'm reminded of a couple of stories that fit at home in this Midweek Drive, not the least of which is Dean Haglund on The Truth Is Out There traveling with his Dobermans. We always had a Doberman with us wherever we went. So, although Alana thought she might have been joking, there could be Dobermans. Mm. Who knows? Mm. And, in fact, when we were shooting in Austin, Texas, I remember we went into the airport, and Dean, who was wearing identical sweaters, to his Doberman, they both had identical matching sweaters on, which was very cute. We were going into an airport, and I said, "You're not going to be able to bring her in here, especially after 9/11. I mean, you can't bring just a dog into an airport." And he goes, "Ah," he just waves me off. And as soon as security approaches him about having a giant Doberman in a sweater there in the airport, he just says out to them, "She's a service animal."
Nice.
And they all back off, and he gets carte blanche to just walk through the airport with his dog. Nobody asked to see any identification, any paperwork, anything. They just accepted that as an answer.
She's a service animal. I wonder if we should actually try that with Arthur Weingarten's cats, that's Andre's cats. Yeah, they are service animals, even though they're actually given four wonderful names.
I would just for Arthur do what I ordinarily did with Dean, and point out that Arthur Weingarten's kind of a big deal and should get to do whatever he wants.
Yeah, I go with that. You know, Suru, Shalingi, and Babu. I was very impressed in this week's episode of Chilpack Hollywood to actually hear that Dean Haglund actually launched with a recommendation for a book, which I'm sure Nikki Wells would appreciate. It's Sophie's Run by What's Her Face. That, you know, I mean, you know, you've got to, I mean, Nikki, that's not good, is it, really? As an author, you don't necessarily want to have, you know, that kind of branding for your products.
Well, you know, at least, you know, 50% is half the way.
50%. Yeah, but if somebody actually does, you know, if somebody actually uses, shall we say, a library search engine. I mean, Katie's ace with library search engines now. She knows her ref work. She got, are you ready?
Yes, exactly. Yes, I do.
Sorted through there. You're typing in Sophie's Run.
I wish I knew it soon.
Or each in good time. And you've got what's his face, what's her face. You think it's not going to work, is it? But maybe it will. Anyway, and you'll be pleased to know that actually we can't see Natasha on camera. She's not on camera now.
That's why, you know.
She's hiding.
It's good. I'm very pleased there, just how he positioned that camera.
And Nicola, you're not on camera either.
No, oh, I'm happy about that. So.
That's okay. Anyway.
She is just on camera.
Well, there we are. Sorry. What other highlights of the programme have you enjoyed so far, as far as, you know, our Californian correspondent is concerned?
Well, Alex, I appreciate you bringing up Chilpack Hollywood Hour. I was inspired by the discussion of wiretapping,
yes,
phone tapping. This week, I think we'll make available one of our classic episodes that hasn't been available for a long time, where we actually podcast live from Dragon Con, the big pop culture in Atlanta that's held every year, the latest type in the world. All fan run. First place we ever did a show in front of a live audience, and we just did a show questions, and it was really a funny show. But in it, it tells the story of our offices being phone tapped. So I will make that show available at chillpack.com this week.
Very good.
And I'll share with you the other tapping experience,
yes,
I have had, because I've been in this game long enough now where it's happened more than once. And I was just starting principal photography on my film, Carl Rove, I Love You, a fictional documentary that's been described as a really bizarre love letter to the most evil political figure of our time. And it's now available in Europe on IndieMondo. People can stream it live on IndieMondo. But I was going to Washington, D.C., to shoot some location photography with my co-director and star, Dan Butler. And we were staying at a friend's house in Baltimore. And she asked us, why are you guys here? What project are you working on? And we told her what the project was about. And she then says to us, oh, that's interesting. You do know that I'm the private tutor for all of Carl Rove's children, right? And we panic because this is a woman who has access to the children of one of the most powerful men in the world. So naturally, she would be under 24-hour surveillance. We quickly said, we got to get out, we got to get out, we got to get out. We went and talked outside, and sure enough, it got back to us within a matter of weeks that Carl knew about our project and was kind of amused about the direction it
might. Well, that's great. I mean, tomorrow morning, Phil, we'll be talking about why Boris Johnson and Ed Miliband would technically, according to a recent survey, need to spend over £25,000 combined on plastic surgery to make them electable, as far as their faces are concerned. We'll be looking at this connection between hyper-leader, normal, and anti-leader, all thanks to some key information that's being researched here by the whole notion of what makes key leadership qualities in men and anti-leadership qualities. So I'll give you some right here. If you want key leadership qualities, you need a rectangular face shape, you need to have focused eye gaze, healthy, slightly tanned skin, and thin, slightly pursed lips with a straight mouth. We'll be speaking to an academic about the whole notion of the faces for success. We'll be talking about that with Dr. Chris Solomon, as far as the Midweek Drive Morning Edition is actually concerned. Sorry, I had to.
Now this is what you need in order to be elected to public office.
Yeah, well, I thought, given that Barack Obama has actually sort of worked his way through the whole sequence now, it's only right that we actually find out what is needed, and if you need to actually be elected, well, then go for some plastic surgery.
I've got a slightly tanned skin.
But you're not a man, Katie.
Well,
sorry.
It certainly is. It certainly was. It certainly always was an interesting pastime here in the U.S. to chart photos over the years of the Clintons, of former President Bill Clinton and Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, to chart their plastic surgery through the years. That was always a fun pastime. But that list of things that elected officials need. Mm. In order to get office, neglected the ability to tap dance.
And
the
also
ability, the ability to speak out of both sides of their mouth,
and the
ability to blow smoke up their own behind.
There you are. All important. Blondes are also less likely to get ahead to work. This all comes about as a result of the work of Dr. Chris Solomon, a research team led by the United Kingdom's leading facial mapping expert, who was tasked with analysing the facial features that we identify with success and leadership in the workplace. How we combine that with holistic pet care with Karen Ruggles, I don't know, but we will do it just after midnight Los Angeles time, actually 1 a.m. in the morning. Anyway, Katie, where else would you like Phil to actually go now in terms of his thoughts, his ruminations, his pontifications, and general words of wisdom?
Well, I'm not sure.
Well, I have to say we're not lip-syncing, although I think Phil might be. You know, there's a bit of lip-syncing taking place on camera there. Beyonce was there. Natasha?
I was lip-syncing all during Manfred Mann's Blinded by the Light.
Nice.
I mean, that was what a treat that was. You always pick great musical selections. The Streets Are Ours is one of my favorites. But the Manfred Mann brought back a memory of being in production on another film and driving to a location with my first assistant director, a very smart, lovely woman who knew how smart she was to the point that it sometimes became a little irritating. And Manfred Mann's other big hit, The Mighty Quinn, some people know it as Quinn the Eskimo, that came on the radio. And of course, you know, the selection you played, people might not know, was written and originally recorded by Bruce Springsteen.
Absolutely.
And Mighty Quinn was a big hit for the band, and it came on, and for some reason, this assistant director of mine had never heard Mighty Quinn. And this is in the 1980s. Mm. So this is quite a
come
while
on
ago.
Without, come on within, you'll not see nothing to the Mighty Quinn. When Quinn the
Eskimo gets here,
everybody's going to run to him.
And those lyrics inspired her to deride the song, to dismiss the song by saying, oh my goodness, what a desperate attempt to sound like Bob Dylan. It's just embarrassing. At which point, Alex, and I know you would have enjoyed the very same moment in the same way I did, I got to point out to her that Bob Dylan, in fact, wrote that song, and I was able to shove her out of the car at 35 miles an hour. It was a win-win.
We wouldn't say that's advisable. We've never actually done that with any of our team on the Midrake Drive, and we don't intend to be honest.
You know, and I never advocate violence. In fact, you know I'm a violence prevention specialist. At the same time, does anything, if anything, were to inspire violence, would a lack of musical knowledge...
It could be part of Sophie's scenario, a fire, an impromptu mini-trip with Dan, and a dreaded wedding later. Sophie is still struggling to meet the love of her life.
Quite honestly, you've got to be careful, people, because if you reveal a lack of musical knowledge or a lack of knowledge about classic Star Trek, you are liable to get the back of Lefchuk's head.
And there it goes. Nicola, anything you'd like to add in this sort of moment as we sort of begin to draw to a close this little sequence of the Midweek Drive for January the 23rd, 2013?
Well, Alana was saying that you're going to be working together soon, so I'm quite interested in
if she
what
wakes
you
up,
have
she's
planned.
Sleep deprivation at present, really.
Well, I mean, we've worked together before on the 28-hour, 40-hour, 90-hour Mayan podcastathon.
We had breaks, guys. We took over for 3 hours. You had combat radio. It wasn't nonstop. Come on now, you know.
Yeah, but realize that, again, you woke me to be on your show.
So
40 hours nonstop, and I had to listen to your show. I didn't get a break. I still had to listen to your show in case there was a problem. And I was on your show during the break. Okay, that said, I am thrilled to realize, to learn only now, that Alana has yet to discover the joys of pre-recorded entertainment. Mm. Apparently, she believes everything is live.
So
we're driving up to the high desert in the Angeles Crest Forest tomorrow to apparently put on a very short one-act play for anyone who drives by.
Nice.
And that'll be good. I don't even actually have to roll cameras, because as far as she's concerned, you know, it's all happening in the moment. So that'll
exactly.
be great.
It's just one lovely thing after the other. Nikki, have you enjoyed your first midweek drive of 2013?
I have loved every minute of it.
Marvellous. And clearly we're going to be doing some stuff now which won't be live, but we'll be providing some audio goodies to be released on February the 7th.
Oh, yes, we're finalising the preview launch party arrangements.
We might have Natasha and Katie joining us for a little bit of that if they don't fall asleep.
Ed.
Nicola, perhaps? Ed,
yeah,
you know,
definitely.
Sort our way through that. Would you like to throw those last two questions to Phil Leonis, please?
Phil, have you had a reasonably interactive and interesting telephonic
back of my head, back of my head, back of the neck, bang,
with us today?
Always interesting and sometimes unreasonable, and then it's even more interesting.
Excellent. And will we be able to join up with you again sometime soon?
Absolutely, I would imagine, hopefully next Wednesday.
Excellent.
Yes, of course Phil Leonis is booked for the February 7th grand launch, the big book launch, the kind of cross scenario there. I feel it was important that he actually joins us as one of the staples
Even
of the show.
Better, he can get reading right away.
Could we send him an e-book? Do you think we could do that?
We certainly could.
Would you like
even
that, Phil?
Remotely interested.
If I ask Nikki, pass on your details, then she can send you an e-book copy that you could read on set, you know, whilst in the middle of directing and such.
Bit of light entertainment.
Yeah.
And as you know, I will cover in what we're reading on Chilpack
exactly.
Hollywood Hour.
Sophie's Run by What's Her Face?
By What's Her Face?
I always remember the artist's name,
exactly.
Alex. That's unfair.
It's very true.
And my name was again.
Nikki Wells.
Hey!
Nikki Wells, who I'm watching on a webcam right now.
Yes,
yeah.
I know. I'm kind of very self-conscious here, but I'm going to wave just for you.
Ed, have you enjoyed the show?
Great stuff. See you in the morning.
There we are. Natasha, you enjoy the show?
Yeah, it's been really good.
Are you back in the morning?
I'm not, unfortunately.
Oh, joking. Katie?
yeah, it's been good.
And you're off to Birmingham?
Yeah, I am.
There we are. Nicola?
Yeah, very good, thank you.
Splendid. And you'll be back next week.
Yes.
Wonderful. There we are. It's all sorted through. We've got a Mike Dooley thing to just squeeze in. Then we've got the news and all sorts of marvellous things on Siren 107.3 FM. We'll be switching off the camera team because we don't think, what's the point of just staring at a desk, etc. So happy trails for now. Can we all, after saying thanks to Katie, to Nikki, to... For a moment there, I'd actually completely forgotten Nicola. You know, Nicola,
oh
Nikki, Natasha, Ed, Samantha
Viner
earlier in the show, Arthur Weingarten, the whole team. Thank you very much indeed. Thanks to Cameron. Thanks to Jeff Thompson. Thanks to Mark Aldridge. I could go on for a few days thanking people, but, you know, we have to move on to this. So can we all say bye-bye?
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The secret behind miracles is that the one performing them begins without any knowledge whatsoever of exactly how they will succeed. Yet still, they begin. When you move, I move the universe. Once again, taking action saves the day.